have that. Let's look at it again. Job 6:8, the Bible says this: "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, the thing that I long for. And let's pray, and then you may, well, I guess you already are seated, aren't you? Heavenly Father, Lord God, we ask you, Lord, that you bless this time this morning now, Father. Do a great work, Lord. It's summertime. People are gone. I know some people are out of town. Some people are on trips, and some people are just missing, and maybe for one reason or another they have something going on. But we're still at the house of God, and still the Lord's day today, Father. I pray that you'd lift us up, Father, to pay attention this morning, for the next 30 minutes or so, Lord. I think I've got something that can be a help here. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And the thing that I long for high in the Sierra Mountains is a peaceable lake, very peaceful, where a great tragedy took place one day in the history of our nation. The lake is called Donner Lake because of a party of people called the Donner Party who were moving to the West Coast from the state of Illinois. During their trip, these people had gotten stranded. They were fashionable people of some means. Got stranded in a snowstorm in the Sierra Mountains near this lake that's now called Donner Lake. This party was stranded so long that their food supply began to run out. And literally they starved to death one by one together. These elite, cultured, refined people, if you will, were so hungry that they began to eat each other by sharing the carcass of a friend who had died in the group. Gruesome as it is, it's true. It's a fact. This type of occurrence is not unique in the annals of history. It's been said that pilots who were stranded before on an island in the Pacific Ocean would wait for one another to die so that they might outlive the other one, so they could try to eat the other one to gain some nourishment to live longer. There is no appetite known to man, unless it is a thirsting that is so great as hunger. Hunger. Man hungers. Job said, "Oh, that I might have my request, and that God would grant me the thing that I long for." Just like a thirsty man in a desert, just like a hungry man stranded on a mountaintop somewhere. They got awful hungry. Job said, "There's something that I long for. There's something I hunger for. There's something I thirst for," is what he was saying. "There's something that I need. Oh, that God would grant me the thing that I long for." Man spiritually is a lot like man physically. There's a lot of comparisons we can make between the two. A lot. Have you ever been hungry for something? Have you ever wanted to eat a certain thing? What do? You eat a piece of candy sometimes because it's not a mealtime and you're hungry. But the candy, it tastes good, but does it truly satisfy your hunger? No, it doesn't truly satisfy your hunger. What do you do next? Well, maybe you eat some ice cream or some cookies somewhere. They taste good, but do they truly satisfy your hunger? Not really. You want some, what do you always say, real food, right? You want some real food. Want some real food. And so it don't really satisfy your hunger. So the thing for which you hunger has not yet been eaten that would satisfy you. By nature, man's hunger, or has a hunger for God. A wise man said, "God hath put eternity into our hearts." But the tragic and the sad and tragic thing is that when we hunger for God, we do not realize that he's the thing that we are hungering for. So what do we do so often, man does? Man seeks pleasure because it's fun, but it doesn't satisfy. Man seeks money. It's fun, but neither does it satisfy. We seek power. It's fun to have power, but ultimately it doesn't satisfy either. We're like a child hungering for something good to eat. We're hungry, we want something, so we eat a piece of candy and it doesn't quite satisfy. We eat a piece of cake or a cookie or a bowl of ice cream, but it doesn't quite satisfy. We're still hungry for something that's quote-unquote real food. That would satisfy our hunger. Mankind runs hungering and longing for something. What is he hungering and longing for? Man is longing and hungering for God. Just man doesn't always realize that that's what they're longing and hungering for, but it's God that they're after. It's God that they hunger inside for. It's God. He longs for something eternal. He doesn't always realize it, but he longs for something eternal. He longs to have fellowship with the creator of the universe, even though he doesn't always realize it, so he tries something else to try to fill that void because he's dissatisfied, but he knows inside there's somewhere, there's an empty spot that needs something. He's got a longing inside for something that's missing. Last night, some youth went to a brothel house somewhere probably in this town and paid money for an evening of lust. He did not know what he was really seeking was God. He was satisfied but for a moment. Truth is, he's still empty inside. Last night, some man stumbled into a tavern downtown somewhere and drank his liquor. He thought he was having fun and being satisfied, but he woke up the next day still empty inside. He didn't know he was really seeking God. He was searching for something to fill that empty place in his heart. But the only thing that could truly fulfill it was God. Amen. Last night, some woman right around this neighborhood here gave her body to the hands of some wicked and ungodly man, all for a few dollars for which she could use to buy some liquor or drugs with. She maybe even had a thrill out of it, but she didn't find what her soul was truly hungry for. Her soul was truly hungry for God. What she found in the end is that she's still hungry. Last night, a married couple a few blocks over here administered into their veins some type of narcotics in order to get some kind of a high. They thought they'd be satisfied, but after the high was over, they found they were still empty inside and they're no longer satisfied. They're still hungry. God was the only thing that could fill that void. They didn't know it. But when they were seeking their drugs, they were truly seeking God. All across this city, people are seeking for satisfaction. Satisfaction from their music, perhaps. Their rock music, their rap music, or whatever other kind of worldly, sensational, sensual music that they could listen to. Music that's promoting dope, rebellion, anarchy, indecency, and lust. And they might get that kind of music, and they might twist and gyrate all around to that kind of music, to some sort of a foolish dance. So why do they do that, preacher? Because they're seeking something. They're seeking fulfillment, but they're not getting it through that. They just think they are for a short time. In the end, they find out, guess what? They're seeking God. And that's the only thing that can fill that void. But they don't know they're seeking God, so they turn to music to try to fill that void in their life. But it's only God that can fill that void, not the music. The drunkard seeking God when he turns to liquor instead of God. The whoremonger seeking God and instead he turns to fulfilling of their lust. The narcotic is seeking God but turns to drugs instead to try to satisfy. The tavern keeper and the one who frequents the tavern are searching for God when they sell and consume their liquor. All of these people are searching for God, but they do not know that they are. But they're seeking God. I'm talking this morning to somebody who's tried everything in order to satisfy their hunger. Are you that someone? Is that you this morning? Are you the one? Stop and realize this, that you're hungering for that which you never thought about. Fellowship with the Almighty is what you're really hungering for. The creator of your soul. The psalmist said in Psalms 84:2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Every person this morning has a hunger. Every person has a hunger for God. They just don't always realize it. Even the millionaire this morning, I think, has a hunger for God. Even they have a hunger for God. Even they're hungry this morning. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. In Isaiah 48:22. There's something beating inside the breast of every person that's got a hunger. There's an empty spot there. And there's something inside of them that they're looking to fulfill that empty spot because something inside of them says, hey, I know I need something. I'm longing for something. finds what he thought he needed, but he finds that that was not what he really needed. So he keeps trying. So preacher, what do you say? I'm saying every boy, every girl, every man, every woman will keep trying to fill that empty void until they finally discover what it is that they're truly hungering for. They will continue to try to fill that. They will continue to seek after filling that empty spot. Three times the psalmist tells us this. He tells us about hungering for God three times. Let me give them to you this morning. Number one is this. David longed for God. David, that's the psalmist, David longed for God. He longed for God. We saw about Job what he longed for, but David longed for God. Psalm 63:1, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. David longed for God is what he longed for. That was Psalm 63:1. He longed for God. See, the psalmist David said, my soul longeth for God, my soul vehemently hungers for God. There could be someone there this morning, or here this morning, who's never been saved. Maybe your name's not written in heaven. You do not know that you would go to heaven if Jesus were to come back right now. And you may not even realize this part, but you know what? Inside, you're hungering for God is what you're really hungering for. Inside, that's what's missing. Inside, that's the empty spot. Your soul longeth for God. Even that lady crawling up those sacred stairs I talked about last week in Rome there, taking each step and counting her beads and crossing herself, trying to pay her penance. What is she really seeking after? God. She's just found the wrong form with which to attain him. But that's what she's after. The mother of the Nile River who's offering her baby to the crocodiles of yesteryear, she doesn't know what she's hungering for, but really it's the salvation that Jesus offers is what she's after. That's really what she's after. Have you ever noticed how the world changes? Have you ever noticed how the music changes from decade to decade? The world changes its songs all the time. Why? What does the world do? Oh, from classical to folk songs to jazz to disco to rock to rap to pop and whatever else there is out there. Why does it change so much? Because it really doesn't satisfy. That's why. It doesn't satisfy. Why are we singing the same songs today that we sang 10 years ago when we started the church? Because they satisfy. That's why. Why are we singing the same songs today that many of those songs were sung by Christians 100 years ago and longer? Why? Because they satisfy, that's why. We'll have to change our music all the time because it satisfies. Because singing praises to God for somebody who's truly a born-again, blood-bought Christian satisfies them. Amen. Because they have a longing for God inside and it satisfies. The world changes how they dress all the time. You notice how the people who can afford to wear what they want to wear one style for a while and then they change and wear another style for a while. And they're always changing their styles. Why? They're searching for something there. They're not satisfied. Notice how they keep taking more material off and more material off of the outfits. Why? Because they're seeking for satisfaction. They're not getting any. It doesn't satisfy. Pretty soon they're going to run out of material to take off and they still find one thing. They're not satisfied. They're still not satisfied. I'm talking this morning to some teenager who swallowed the filthy television advertisements and the lies of Satan that go with it. And you've sought everything in the world, but you found that one thing is lacking in your life. And until you put back what was there ever in the first place, Christian young person, you won't be satisfied. You won't be satisfied. Or you may have trusted Christ, but you're still empty because there's still a longing for God in there. God made you for fellowship with him. In the Garden of Eden, God was in the soul, amen. Man by nature is a sinner, and man chose to sin. There's a place in your soul that is only for God. So I'll put liquor in there. Guess what you still are? Unhappy. Unhappy. Well, I'll put money in there. Guess what you are? Still unhappy. Well, I'll put some pleasure in there for a while. You're still unhappy. It doesn't satisfy. I'll put some narcotics in there. That'll make me happy. Not for very long. Once you're over the effects of it, you're unhappy. That's why people become addicts. Because they're searching inside. They're searching inside. Well, they're addicted. Why? Because they're trying to escape that empty void that's got them hungering. Well, when they're on the drug, they don't feel it because they don't feel anything when they're on the drug. But when they come off it, they're still unhappy because they're still empty inside. Amen. It's true. That spot's for God. You can't fill it with anything else. It won't satisfy because only God can bring the satisfaction that's needed to fill that spot. Amen. So why, preacher? Because it's reserved for him. Until you come to Jesus, you'll never find out what you're searching for. David said, my soul longeth for God. Number two, David also longed for the house of God. He longed for the house of God. He said again in Psalms 84:2, he said, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. David said, first, my soul longeth for God. Now he's found God. Then he says, when he gets to Psalms 84:2, he says, I need something else. I've got a second longing. What am I longing for? The courts of the Lord, or in other words, the same thing as the house of the Lord. He's longing for that. David said he envied the sparrows. Why? Because they get to live in the house of God all the time. Amen. My soul longeth, he said. Folks, I eagerly await for the next time we get to meet at the house of God each week. I don't know how people miss it so much. I don't know how you can just flippantly miss church all the time. I can't wait until we get back to church again. And so when you're the preacher, I was that way before I was the preacher. I would have never became the preacher if I wasn't that way before I was the preacher. Because before I was ever the preacher, man, my family, we loved church. Because I'll tell you what, we found one thing. We can escape the realities of this world and we just enjoy the things of God for that period of time while we're at church. And we don't have to think about all the heartaches that this world brings to us. Because there's always going to be heartaches in the world. It's full of sin. It's always going to be full of heartaches and difficulties. Always will be. But you get a break from it when you go to church in the house of God. David longed for that. Everything builds towards Sunday. Can you spend so much time here at the house of God? I look forward to every Wednesday night prayer meeting, every Bible study, amen. I look forward to meeting on Thursday nights for soul winning. I love Saturday morning soul winning. I love the Sunday services. I love Sunday school. I love the morning service. I love the evening service. I long for each one every week. Say, when do you start longing for it? As soon as I leave, I'm longing for the next time. Because I love it. I look forward to it. I long for it. David longed for the courts of God. It would be good for us to learn how to long for the same thing. Amen. It'd be good for us. Listen, if you're right with God, you're going to long to get back here for service tonight and Wednesday night and next Sunday. And if you don't have that longing, then something's wrong with you. It's not something wrong with us. There's something wrong with you. It's time for God's people to long for his house again. It's time for God's people to long for the courts of God again. That's what it's time for. It's time for that longing that's missing. That longing. Number three, David longed for a third thing this morning, and that's this. David longed for the Word of God. David longed for the Word of God. After David found God, his soul longed for what? The house of God. Amen. Then guess what? After he got to the house of God, David longed for one other thing. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. He longed for it. After David found God, he wanted the house of God. After he got to the house of God, he said, it's one other thing. It's the Word of God. David says in Psalms 107:9, for he satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. But he also says in Psalms 119:20, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. What are judgments? The Word of God, of course. The Word of God, amen. David longed for the Word of God all the time. David said, I long for the Word of God until I found him. Or I long for God until I found him, and now I long for the Word of God. We need to read our Bibles, folks. I feel sorry for those who don't ever read their Bibles. I feel sorry for those who'd rather look at a dirty magazine than the Word of God. I feel sorry for those who'd rather watch television for hours on end than ever read the Bible. In fact, I don't just feel sorry for you, I worry about you. Why is it your appetite is not so good? The soul that's born again should have a vehement hunger for the Word of God, for the Bible. Folks, all that pleases in this world is but for just a moment. Just a moment. You'll be satisfied for just a moment. And that's it. Then it's over. Then you're not satisfied any longer. Live in pleasure, and it's gone after a moment. Live for money, and it's gone after a little while. Live your life for popularity, and it's gone after a while. Ask Babe Ruth how important baseball is now. Say, he's dead. Yeah, exactly. If you could ask him how important it is now. Baseball wouldn't mean a thing. And I'm not against baseball. But it's not near as important as the things of God. Ask Marilyn Monroe how important physical beauty is now. So, a preacher, she's dead. Yeah, she is. She's dead, all right. But it's not that important. It's over with. It doesn't mean much now. Ask President Nixon how important power and popularity is. It's gone now. When he was elected by the biggest majority ever until Reagan came along later, but he was the most popular president at that point in history. However, 2 years later, he was the most unpopular president ever. It's just for a moment, isn't it? All that is eternal is forever. Live your life as a soul winner and you won't regret it once you go into eternity. It'll be great when you're walking the streets of gold. Ask C.H. Spurgeon how things are for him now. Ask Fanny Crosby how important it was to live for God and for eternity. Ask Dr. Jack Hiles how important it was to live in eternity. How satisfying is it now? Ask the great William Carey, missionary to India, or his friend maybe, Adoniram Judson up there was his friend, to Burma, how important it was to live for God. Ask him that. How important is it? Just remember, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full of his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Let's stand to our feet. That which I long for, the thing that I long for. That's what Job said, oh, that I might have my request and that God would grant me the thing that I long for. I challenge you that this morning. Let's bow our head and close our eyes as we stand. Let me ask you this morning. Maybe you're here. Maybe you say, preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm going to go to heaven when I die. Please pray for me. You lift your hand up and I'll pray for you in a moment when I pray. Say, I'm not sure I'm saved. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. I'm not sure that I've got a home in heaven. Please pray for me. You lift your hand up and I'll pray for you in a moment when I pray. So I'm not sure about that. Please pray for me. Please pray for me. You lift your hand up. I'll pray for you. Not sure I've asked Jesus to come in my heart and save me for sure. That I really understood it or meant it maybe even. Please pray for me. If that's you, you lift your hand up and I'll pray for you in a moment. Then let me ask you secondly, without you raising your hands, do you long for the house of God? As a Christian, you should. Do you long for the Word of God? As a Christian, you should. As a Christian, you should. These are all things to long for. All things to long for. I challenge you that this morning. Let's pray. And then you may be started an invitation. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. We're thankful, Lord, for those that have come. We pray, Lord, that you do a great work now, Father, in our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you bless this invitation time now, Lord. And maybe there's somebody here, Lord, that knows not Christ as their Savior. I pray that today would be the day that they have Christ in their heart as their Savior. Maybe somebody's been saved but not scripturally baptized. I pray that today would be the day they follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. I pray, Lord God, that you do a great work now in this invitation time. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Whatever the need is, you come. Yeah. Tyler Holbrook has accepted Christ as Savior the other day, and he's going to follow the Lord in baptism today. If you're happy about that, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. He got saved just yesterday, didn't he? Yeah, well, that's great. And praise God for that. And soul winning always pays. Amen. All right, brother. Why don't you lead us in a song or two to get this all over?
310 in our songbooks, please. 310. Sweetly, Lord, have we heard thee calling, come, follow me. And we see where thy footprints falling, lead us to thee. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountain seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains helping the weak, Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. If they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. Then at last when on high he sees us, our journey done, we will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his throne. Footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow. We will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go.
All right, this is Tyler. I'm baptizing my brother in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Buried in likeness of his death. Raised in likeness of his resurrection. One more, okay. And the servant said, Lord, we have done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Let's stand to our feet. Let's see, is Travis in here? If you watch that door, Travis, and don't let anybody in there until this man's done in there, changing. So make sure nobody goes in there. And the rest of you, Brother Hager's going to dismiss us in prayer. If you're around, make sure you congratulate him about that and welcome him aboard. And we've got church tonight at 6 o'clock. Love to see you back. Brother Hager, go ahead, sir.
All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, as we come to you now, we beg your forgiveness for any sin that we have not yet confessed before you, Lord. Father, we love you and just pray that you'll please work in our hearts, work in our lives, draw us to yourself. Help us to do those things you'd have for us to do, Lord God, to live a light that brings honor and glory to your holy name, Lord. Use us, Father, to reach more souls for Christ, Lord. And we pray for this precious soul right here. You'd help him to live for you, Lord God. Thank you. You saved him. Got him baptized, Lord, but we pray you'd also give him grace to turn his life over to you completely so you can bless him and bless him and bless him and bless him. Now, Lord God, we love you, ask for your gracious working, and praise you for what you're going to do now. Amen.